Dear friends, and especially the families and friends of our confirmands, I mean, you could be live stream. We had it yesterday. You can go on a recording, but being here in person is a lot more normal, isn't it? We had a normal confirmation yesterday for the first time in 3 years. There was a couple hundred people here and family and friend crowded together. Oh, it's good. And maybe it's been something in your life that you wished you could have made and you weren't able to be there. Some big event, a big concert. It might have been a game. My son-in-law managed to get to the NBA Finals. Except he didn't get in the game. He went to the Deer District. 40 or 50 or 60,000 people all gathered together. He said it didn't matter that you were inside. There was an electricity like you couldn't believe. That's something kind of new, isn't it? But you want to be physically there. And can you imagine being in heaven? If you multiply those numbers, 10,000 times 10,000 angels, that's 100 million. That's a big assembly. And then add to it billions of believers. Oh, what an event that is going to be. For heaven's sake, let us sing with them. And that is exactly what Revelation is going to do. It's going to ascribe to Jesus that he is worthy. That he is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our celebration. That he is worthy of our trust. And it's because of his great love. Let's take a look at this. You can turn to page 12. You'll find my sermon outline there. And we're going to talk through Revelation 5. Heaven is a place like no other. Indescribable joy and bliss. It is a place where there is an absence of suffering and tears and pain. Isn't that a place you could get used to living? A few of us have those aging bodies, and during the time when this crazy Wisconsin weather goes up and down, the arthritis goes up and down too, let me tell you. And it is going to be a new day, a day of recreation. Our bodies will be filled with happiness, with joy. I mean, if you can imagine being a young body all over again. When you watch your children, aren't you amazed at how much energy they have? I watched a four-year-old dance for about an hour yesterday afternoon, and she wore me out. Ooh. It is a great celebration. So let's take a glimpse at this and see the Lamb for all that he's done and the salvation he brings. The angels told why this Lamb alone was worthy. In fact, earlier in the chapter, John weeps. He says, I wept and wept because no one would be found that could open the seals. Why? Because if no one opens the seals, the end does not come, and there's nothing but tragedy and darkness and doom. We don't want that. We want a good ending, don't we? To life, to the world. And so he says, as they lift up their voices, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Sometimes we don't get into the deeper layers, but there are seven adjectives here. Worthy is the Greek word axios. And in the Greek language, there's a crescendo. There's three, and there's three. So the most important word is the middle one. The word strength, the word power. And this is why the Lamb was worthy, because he has the strength to defeat the enemy. No more death, no more devil. The victory has already been won. Now, that is also tied to his acclamation here as the Lamb of God. Shows up in two ways, very symbolically in our worship. Underneath the metal piece here is a lamb who was slain. It's done in the mosaic of wood. And then at the end of the church year, we'll have a picture of the Lamb who is slain on the throne. It comes out of this imagery from Revelation that the Lamb was slain because he was accomplishing something. It was a sacrifice. Not so easy for us as Americans to see. But the Jews were used to it. The Jews were there when the lambs were slain. I guess it could offend our ears if we said slaughtered. But it is. The Jews were used to the letting of blood, catching it in a bowl, pouring it on an altar, sprinkling it. The Jews were used to the imagery of a lamb that was slain. And it wasn't without effect, because in every Passover, that blood has a special significance. You'll be coming to the Lord's table, confirmants, for the first time. This is the painting of the Lord over your life. The doorposts were painted so that the angel of death could go over. And when you come here, you're being preserved. You're being given the opportunity, even though you've been sinning, even though you can't help yourself but sin, you're put under the protection of the Lamb. What an incredible gift God is giving, a piece of heaven even now, because the Lamb who is slain is worthy. And this makes us long for the heavenly chorus, doesn't it? If only we could be there. Like if you ever missed something, you would say, if only I could have seen it. If I could have been there, if I could have heard it. But you won't have to say that about heaven. You're going to be there in the celebration, either snatched up into the air at the end, or you'll cross across through the gate of death. And I guess when I look around, there are a few, especially, that Easter means more this year. If they lost a loved one, Easter means more. And after a couple of weeks, does Easter rub off? Does it just disappear? I mean, with the cold weather, do we kind of go back to our normal, forget, you know, colds and all that, and just kind of back to, but we can't. Because the Lamb who was slain is on the throne. And even though sin tends to quiet the distant triumph song, that's the title for Revelation given by Dr. Becker in his book, The Distant Triumph Song, it still is growing. It's growing here. It's growing in the hearts of our confirmants. It is growing as we are stepping closer and closer to the day of Jesus. You know, a lot of people have said that heaven is a weakness. People like Lenin, he said it was the opiate of the masses, a weakness. And there's all kinds of cultural revelations. The Native Americans, the Indians that were here as Europeans came, they actually called it the happy hunting ground. The Norsemen called it Valhalla, and it was, you were rescued off to like a vacation island. For the Muslims, it's going to be a paradise that has a big family and actually a little too much emphasis on the pleasure part. Heaven is so much more. Heaven is salvation, the rescue. So when we see salvation coming with the Lamb, we know that it is going to be, what would you call it, inaugurated, begun forever and lasting. We continue to fight the good fight, and that's a passage, fight the good fight of faith. Yesterday, I used a bit of that analogy with our confirmands to talk a little bit about battle. I mean, what does it take to get ready for war? I mean, you could say that after you've gotten out of basic training, you're ready, but most soldiers know it takes a lot of personal experience. You're going to learn and learn and learn the more you're out there, and by God's grace, you're spared. And that's our message, not just to the confirmants, but to every one of us. Stay sharp by staying in the Word. Stay attuned and attentive by praising God, by joining the angels, by having this connection to your vows. Yesterday was a day of vows. Now, we changed things just a little in the last 3 years because of the pandemic. Maybe a lot of things. But one was that we now confirm on Saturday morning, and then today is the first time that our confirmants come to the Lord's altar. Pretty special day, special weekend. But it's not over here. It is not over because life needs the Lord's power to continue. Without the Lord's power that comes from the Lamb, we won't be able to overcome. He says, the four living creatures said amen, and the elders bowed down and worshiped. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. A large assembly. Look at the angels. It felt really good yesterday to have everybody standing up here and chatting and taking pictures. I miss the large assembly. And then John notices it's not just angels. There's the elders. There's the 12 tribes of the Old Testament representing all Old Testament believers. There's the 12 apostles of the New Testament representing all of us, the New Testament church. And there's those four incredible creatures at the throne called cherubim or seraphim. Six wings, eyes all around. Can you imagine being up close to those speakers, those four angels as they let loose? Whoosh! What a power. And then I think in the quiet of what I do as a pastor. Thursday afternoon, before I preached this sermon, I went over to Wally and Joy's house. Wally Wolf has been given a synopsis of his life by the doctors. They're saying, you don't have much heart function. You're probably not going to make it long. We're putting you on hospice. And I went in, and in the quiet of that day, I got a view of this passage. Because in his bed and with Joy there, the two of them described what it felt to hear that news and to weep. But it didn't last long because Wally would say, I'm ready. And with a faith that just encourages, and I will tell you, I have seen so many people with stronger faith than me. We get down. We get all caught up in this world. We get overwhelmed. And then they remind me as a pastor, put your eyes up there in heaven. And he said, I just want to go home. Because you see, that is really where our home is. It isn't just that Wally got to go home. Here, he has a home awaiting him with Jesus. Lord, our prayer is keep us in the faith until we reach that perfect home. And it's going to be that the world will take shots at us. The world is going to tear at our praise. The world is going to tear at our faith. It's going to distract us. But it cannot take from us the gift of the cleansing water and the body and blood that are really present in, with, and under the bread and wine. John looked around in this vision, and he praised God for all the angels, messengers, with their voices uplifted. I don't even know if Bob could keep up with them. And then he saw all the people, representing Old and New Testament believers. And then he saw the creatures, and he realized what you and I need to realize. We're not alone. What a sad thing to feel alone. What a sad thing to think that we don't have others who have been by our side. The children of God. We are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. You know, Isaiah also had this. He made a statement that I'd like to end with that tells you that you can look back, you can look around you, and you can look forward. He looked back. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done marvelous things, things planned long ago. So Isaiah said, you covered our past. And I know elsewhere in Isaiah, he has the present covered, and the future is the best part yet to come. There is a reason why this service has no expectations. Confirmands, you don't have to throw your catechisms away. I hope you keep them. Don't drop your Bible and let it gather dust. But learn how, in your growth, to praise and honor Jesus for his strength. I believe the greatest strength that God gives is his love. He has loved you from the beginning, and he will love you to the end. What an incredible gift we have in Revelation to see forward, to see into heaven, and to see God, and to give him glory. For heaven's sake, let us sing with our lives. Amen.